We're turning in God's Word to Exodus chapter 4 tonight. We were in chapter 3 this morning, and we're coming to chapter 4. Originally, I intended to do the four mornings, but as there were only three mornings that we were able to meet here, we're going to do the last message here now, because Moses is at the bush, and we want to actually see the result of that. We want to see the follow-through. And certainly Moses' response, because it teaches us a lot about our response to the Lord when he calls us to do something. And here, I believe that each of us, in some measure, will see a little bit of ourselves in Moses and in his response. And therefore, we'll read, and then we'll study and meditate upon what the Lord has given to us in this chapter. Chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Now put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech, and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses and Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. The Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and they worshipped. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please bless the word to our hearts. Thank thee for the manna from above. Thank you for that which will satisfy the soul. Thank you for that which will point to Christ. Thank you for that which will lead us in the way in which we ought to go. O Lord, please open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us, O Lord, and make us teachable. Mold us after the man and woman you would have us to be. Lord, we pray today, thou wilt empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit. O Lord, please, I pray, please come and minister to us today. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. Just as a recap of what we have done in chapter 1, we read of the sovereignty of God and how the Lord had brought pass the plan that was going to save the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The people were enslaved. Pharaoh was a cruel master. The situation seemed hopeless, but God was on his throne working his purposes out. And thank God we can rejoice in this truth. Despite what's happening in our lives, God is on the throne. And then in chapter 2, we have God's plan of redemption being brought to pass because he provided a leader. That was Moses. And God raises men and women to be used by him to reach those in bondage. And there's a purpose in our lives, and that is to be those who will help set others free. Now, we can't set them free, but we can tell them of the one who sets sinners free. We can show them of the one who gives us that great emancipation. Moses, unfortunately, acted in the flesh. He went ahead of God's timing. He was impulsive. And he acted without God's command, but God's grace is seen because he did not cast Moses off. God didn't throw him away, but God in his mercy provided for him. And you know, God desires that his children be used where he places them. If God's placed you in a workplace today, or a school, or in a community, or in a church, then God has placed you there for a purpose, to use you. And your life and the fact that you're there is no accident. Purposeful. God has a purpose for you in that place. And when we fail him, thank God he deals with us in grace. Failure is not final, and we thank the Lord for that. Then this morning we were in chapter 3 and we saw the picture of the church. That was the burning bush, burning but not consumed. Not only did we see the picture of the church, we heard the voice of God calling on to Moses out of the midst of the bush. And what a great privilege it was for Moses to be spoken to by his Creator and his Redeemer. And you know, God speaks to his people. That's a wonderful, wonderful thrill and a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And we need to have a great and a high view of God to realize the privilege of reading the Word and the privilege of hearing God speak to us. And I know certainly of folks at home, and they have had the privilege of being in the presence of the Queen in England, and they were given an invitation, and they had to prepare, and they had to dress in a certain way, and there was an excitement about going because they were going to be in the presence of the Queen. And yet when we come to open the Word of God and listen for the voice of God, we are in the presence of the King of Kings. and the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and of earth, the one who is a judge of all the earth, the one who is the one who planned our redemption, our God, our King, and God still speaks today through his word. And sad to say, there are some of God's people, and they get into the kind of mindset, oh, we have to go to church. No, we get to come worship God. We get to listen to the truth of his precious word. And God is still speaking today. And more than that, just like Moses had a plan revealed to him by God, God has a plan for your life. God has a specific plan for your life that can be clearly known. And God says to you, come that you might listen. And then as we heard this morning, God also says, go, when he has given you his instruction to keep going on. And just like the case in Exodus, when God's plan is followed and adhered to, then he leads into the paths of blessing. One of the things I love about the Word of God is that we have real people. Not these superhuman characters who are flawless, but God presents his people, those whom he loves, those whom he has chosen to place in Hebrews chapter 11, in that chapter of faith, as examples of faithfulness. He presents them in all their being. Yes, in their highlights in their life, but also in their low times. And here we have one of the low times in Moses' life. And you know, that reminds me that as we look at these people, don't think, oh, well, that's back then. That was a different time, a different era. We can't live well for God now as they did in the Word of God. No, these were men, as it says in the book of James about Elijah, men with like passion such as we have. They were men and women who were exactly like us, who were tempted and tried, who sometimes won victory, who sometimes failed. And here we see the reality of the character of Moses. He wasn't a flawless man. And therefore, the first lesson that we have from Exodus chapter 4 is this. Moses used the same excuses that many Christians today use in response to God's will. God has a plan for us, and God reveals his plan to us. And just like God revealed his plan to Moses, Moses refused and made excuses. God, I can't. And many of God's people use the same excuses today. You know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and that's true. Now, it's interesting to note that after God had given so many promises and the wonderful promises and encouragements he gave in chapter 3, then we come down to chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but. Isn't that amazing? The creator of heaven and earth says, it shall be done. You shall go into the land. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and you will leave this land. And here's created man speaking to the eternal sovereign God saying, but God. You've forgotten about this. You didn't realize this. Maybe you don't understand God. And that's exactly what he is saying. Oh, the wickedness of man. Oh, how foolish even the Christian can be. God says, do this, and gives promises, and we say, but God, that ain't going to work. Whenever God gives us a task to do, it's for his glory, it's for our good, it's for the pathway of blessing. And God's ways are always the best ways. You know, we look down the Ten Commandments, and as we look down the Ten Commandments, we hear the world say, that's restriction. That's restrictive. But if you look at each one of those, the reason God gives those for us to follow, by his grace, of course, because we can't keep them on our own. We've broken every single one. But the reason he gives us those is that we might live peaceably with God and peaceably with men. Those who have the greatest peace and joy in this world are those who are walking with God and those who are living with their fellow men according to the word of God. But then we get some people who say they're believers and yet, but you know what? I don't think God wants us to fully do these things. Or maybe God wants us to do it a different way, or that was only for that day. Folks, if God says, the eternal God, says that something is to be done, then we must do it. And if the eternal God says something should not be done, then we must not do it. And here, God was saying to Moses, go to your people, tell them that I will set them free. Go to Pharaoh and tell him that God has a message to set the people free. And here's what Moses said. Three excuses. Number one, the excuse in verse number one is this: behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So here's the first thing. Lord, they will not believe me. They'll not listen. Have you ever said that? Lord says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But do you remember what it says in Acts? Start in Jerusalem, start at home. And you think of the people in your home, maybe your children, maybe your parents, maybe your siblings, maybe those that you work among each day. And you know that God wants you to be a witness, and God wants you to reach them, and God wants you to pray for them and to invite them and to tell them. And you said, they will not believe. They will not listen to me. You know, there's a group of men at home, and they go around the doors on a Sunday afternoon, and they knock the doors with the gospel. There's an open air meeting held, and then as the open air meeting's been held, they go around that area and knock doors with the gospel. And yes, several times people slam the door in their face. Don't want to hear. Stop interrupting my day. Not interested in your religion. But you know, sometimes there are people who are just waiting for someone to speak. Sometimes there are people just waiting for someone to care. I remember hearing a testimony of a man, and he was unsaved for years, and he wanted to be saved for months and months, and he just was hoping and praying that someone would say to him, come to church. Come to church. He didn't know that you could just go yourself. He was waiting on somebody else to ask him. And we assume a lot of things from a human perspective. Nobody wants to hear today. People don't care today. And yet, it is very possible that you're within earshot, within arm reach of someone who needs to hear, and not only needs to hear, but wants to hear. That was the first excuse. They won't believe me. They won't listen to me. Is that why you're not doing anything for the Lord? Second excuse is this, in verse number 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And here's the second thing. I'm not eloquent. My presentation skills are weak. I couldn't invite someone to church. I'm just not that type of person. I don't have that personality. What if they asked me something and I didn't know the answer? I'm not eloquent. My presentation skills are weak. The Lord uses the weak things of this world. The Lord takes those people who are willing and available and uses them. And we'll see in a few moments exactly how he does that. So the first excuse, they will not believe me. They'll not listen. Second excuse, I am not eloquent or good enough. And then here's the third excuse in verse number 13. O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him thou wilt send. And that sounds, in our translation here, it sounds rather good. It's as if Moses said, Lord, you make the decision and send who you think would be best for the job. But God had made the decision. God already said that he wanted Moses to go. And in reality, what Moses was saying here was, I don't want to go, Lord, send somebody else. Send a better person. Lord, send someone else in my place. And you know, many people today want the security of salvation. I'll do what I have to do. But don't ask me to do anything that will cost me effort or time or money. You see, the greatest need today in the Church of Jesus Christ isn't the greatest orators. It's availability. Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to go, whenever you want me to go. And here's three excuses. They won't believe me. I'm not eloquent. I don't want to go. And folks, excuses in response to the will of God And excuses in response to God's word are disobedience. That's it. And if God has given you a burden to reach others, a call to service, a desire to see others saved, and you're doing nothing about it, then you have to acknowledge that you're making a direct decision to disobey God. Think of Jonah. Jonah went to the coast, he found a ship, he got on the ship, and he started sailing away. And I could just imagine, wow, the ship was here. It must be God's will for me to be here. There's a space in that ship. Oh, everything's working out. This could be okay in God's will. No, he was disobeying God. He was running from God. And God only let him get so far until God put his hand upon Jonah and brought him very, very low. And I wonder tonight in this meeting, is there someone, and you have to confess that as you look at Moses standing here before God, that you're using the exact same excuses so that you don't have to do the will of God for your life? The second lesson that we have here in this passage is this: man's excuses are never accepted by God. God doesn't accept our excuses. And you know why? Because God sees through our excuses. And that's what they are, excuses. Notice the futility of such words. Verse number one was, they will not believe me. In other words, they won't listen to me. You know what that was? That was a fear of rejection. And every single person in this meeting knows exactly what that is. There is a fear of rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected. Nobody likes to be said, I don't want to hear. Please stop talking. Not interested. Nobody wants to go and say, would you like to come to church? Goes, no. That's fear of rejection. And that can hinder us from serving God. Not only that, verse number 10, he said, I'm not eloquent. And some Bible commentators believe he may have had a speech impediment. And maybe it was embarrassing for him to speak publicly. And therefore, not only did he have a fear of rejection, he had a fear of being humiliated. Nobody wants to be humiliated. We all have this thing ingrained within us, and it's a natural thing, a human thing, that we all want to fit in. We don't want to be too different. We don't want our head to be above the parapet. We don't want to be the one that people are looking at and goes, who is the weirdo? And yet, that's what happens sometimes whenever we try to serve the Lord. Even sometimes in churches. And there's a fear of humiliation. He didn't want to be embarrassed by serving the Lord. And then there was the truth of the matter. Lord, send whoever you want to. The bottom line is this, Lord, I don't want to go. Moses was 80 years old. He had spent the first 40 years of his life in a palace. He had aspirations at that age of being the leader of the children of Israel. And then the next 40 years being humbled and brought down to a level which God could use him at. And he was maybe weary, he was maybe tired, maybe disillusioned, discouraged. And he said, oh, Lord, I don't want to. So what does the Lord do? Does the Lord say, okay, Moses? No, the Lord deals graciously. Now, the Lord gives some signs. They won't listen to me. That could be right, Moses. They might not listen to you, but I'll show them that you're speaking on behalf of me. That was the difference. Moses, you're not going in to be the person that everybody listens to. You're going in to be the spokesman for God. You're simply a messenger that will lead this people. And God gave three signs. He gave the sign of the rod. Now, the rod, of course, is a picture of tyranny. But yet, the Lord was able to take the picture of that rod as the rod was being whipped across the back of the children of Israel as they were slaves in the land of Egypt. The Lord was able to take it and use it as an example of his power. The tyranny of Pharaoh was going to be broken. Not only that, the leprosy, God was going to deal with the people and cleanse them from the bondage of their slavery. And then the blood, the sign of the blood being, or the water poured out on the land, that was a sign of judgment. Judgment was going to come to this land. Judgment was going to be poured out upon this land. The first and the last plagues were plagues of blood. The first plague was with the rivers turning into blood. The last plague was the death of the firstborn. And that salvation was only through the shedding of the blood. So God was going to judge the land. So God gave signs that were going to stand by Moses. But not only that, God gave his ability. Look at verses 11 and 12. I think these are wonderful verses. Folks, it's not okay to say to God, Lord, I'm not able. Because if God has called you to do something, God will give you the ability. The Lord said unto Moses, who made man's mouth? Who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses, that isn't a problem. I made your mouth. And God has made us as individuals uniquely that we might have a specific individual ministry in our lives. And you might say, well, I'm not like the person that sits over there, or I'm not like the person sitting beside me, and I don't have their skill or their talent or their personality, and how could I be used? Lord said, I made you. Your mouth, your lips, your life, and I will use them if you go. So we can't sit here at night and say, Lord, you can't use me. Lord, there's nothing I can do, because the Lord says, I've made you. And there's a plan and a purpose for you. And then he gave him something else. The Lord gave him a spokesman. You see, the Lord facilitated for Moses' shortcomings. And he said there, I know Aaron, or I know that he can speak well, Aaron, thy brother, and he gave him as a spokesman. So whatever your shortcomings are, Nick, God will meet the need. God will meet the need. When I was growing up in school, I was the most shy, backward, retiring person in school. I didn't speak to many more than two or three people in high school, really, as in close friends. The thought of standing in front of a class give presentation scared me completely. I worried about it for days. And the thought of being ever in a job where I would stand before people and speak publicly would have horrified me at that stage. And yet, in the mercy and in the wisdom of God, when I went to teaching training college, as part of our second year, you had the opportunity to go into mainland Europe for a semester. And I chose to go to Sweden. And I went there and I studied there. And when I was there, the Lord did something in my life. The Lord gave me a confidence to stand before people and a much more open personality than I'd ever had before. And he had to take me out of my home setting and into literally a foreign country, and into a land where I had to be challenged in that area. And I remember the lady who was over us, we were a group of students together, all from different countries, and I at the start was very quiet. She said, you're going to have to make an effort. If you're going to pass this semester and have your credits for university, you're going to have to make an effort to speak to other people and get involved. And I did. And as a result of that, I came back and people couldn't believe the change. I was speaking to people I didn't know before, because the Lord had made that in my life. And you know what? That was the plan of God for my life. And he was able to change that and give me the ability to stand in front of people. Now, it's not easy. And it's fearful every time before you go into the pulpit. But the Lord always facilitates our shortcomings. And whatever yours are today, God will work and give you what you need. You see, God's ways are not our ways. He always provides to facilitate his will. I'll give you one other example of that. I remember when I was called to go to Bible college and I was struggling with it. And before I went and spoke to my minister about it, and before I went and applied to the Bible college, I was having this type of situation that Moses was having that day. Lord, I'm not able. Lord, who's going to listen to me? Lord, I don't really want to. And I remember one of the excuses that I put up was, Lord, I will not financially be able to support myself in college. I'm teaching now, I've got an income, but when I stop, I'll have no money coming in. And how am I going to get through 4 years without any income? Lord, I just don't think financially I could do this. And I remember seriously telling the Lord that and say, I don't think financially I could go to college. And I remember next day coming home from school, and I came and I left at the post, and in the post there was a letter for me, and I opened the letter, and there was a check for £100 in the letter, and it's a little sticky note on top of it saying, to Brother McKee, thank you for your help for your future ministry. Now, I had worked with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, for 10 years. Now, not in a paid capacity, but as a volunteer. And every summer, we did two camps at the North Coast there in Northern Ireland. We saw hundreds of kids coming through, and we taught the gospel and saw many of those kids saved. And I didn't need any money. I wasn't looking any money for it. But for the last couple of years, I had led the camp as a leader. And they had some extra money left over. And at one of their committee meetings, they decided, because of the leadership that I had led and another lady who had led the other camp, that they were going to give us a thank you with this money. And on that little note it said, thank you for your help, this is for your future ministry. Now, they did not know that I was being called into ministry at that time, but as I stood there, it was as if the light turned on, the Lord saying, I'll provide. Now, I didn't have a surplus of money going through Bible college, but you know what, I had enough. And every time I needed money, God provided. You see, all my excuses swept away. The other excuse I had actually was I had a fear of telling my minister. Now, not because of anything in his part or character, but this thing in my head was, who do you think you are? You're going to tell the minister that you think you should go to Bible college. Out of all the people in this church, you are putting yourself forward. And I remember thinking, I was just going to tell, don't be silly. Just go you and sit down. God's not calling you. But I remember going to speak to him, and that night he said, well, I'm not surprised. I believe God has been working in your life. And I was up to such a high emotional turmoil that I just started crying there, and then goes, I thought you were going to tell me no. And yet I worried and panicked about something that the Lord already had dealt with under his control. You see, God always provides to facilitate his will. Folks, if God is calling you to do something, don't hold back. Don't make excuses. Don't worry about what others think. Listen to these promises in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He'll not withhold anything from me that's good. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord does provide. The third lesson we have is this, that a believer's life and house must be in order before he preaches to others. A believer's life and house must be in order before he preaches to others. Now, what was the message that Moses was going to give? Well, the message was simply this, that the people were to go that they might serve the Lord. In verse number 23, and I say unto thee, let my son go, and that is God speaking to Pharaoh, let my son go that he may serve me. And that was the message, that others would serve the Lord, be saved and serve the Lord. But here we find something happened, and it's a very strange thing in many ways that happened, that it came to pass, verse 24, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now, first of all, we must be clean vessels to be used by the Lord. And what goes into our lives will come out in our lives. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, but he also wrote another book that spoke about the city of Mansoul. And in that city, there were several gates. There was Eye Gate and there was Ear Gate, and it led to the inner heart. And you know, that's true in our lives because there are gates in our lives that lead to our hearts. And what goes into our eyes goes into our hearts. And what goes through our ears goes into our heart. And not only that, It will be manifested in our actions. It will be seen in our lives. And therefore, we must guard our eyes and we must guard our ears. Now, a very practical example of this I remember one year at home, it was around September time. And one evening, I was in the house and I started humming Jingle Bells. Now, I thought to myself, what on earth am I singing this song, this Christmas carol, or carol, it's not carol, Christmas song in September? And I retraced my steps over the day, and as I did so, I realized that I'd been in a store, and in that store, there was a Christmas section set up in September. And I'd walked around the Christmas section, and as I had done so, Christmas music had been playing. I wasn't aware of it at the time, but at that time, that song was going into my mind. And a few hours later, it came out in my life. That's a very simple example, but folks, we are surrounded by things every day. And what we listen to does go in, and what we watch does go into our lives, and it molds us. It affects our reactions and our character, and therefore we must be clean channels. Lord, guard my eyes and guard my ears and my mind, that what goes into my heart is good and godly. Our home lives must be clean as Christians. Listen to these words from Psalm 101. It says there, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbour, him will I cut off, and him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. So there we see in the Christian's life, in his home life, there has to be a cleanliness. There has to be a making decisions that were going to make us godly and help our character. But then in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4, for those who hold office in a church, ministers and elders and deacons, it says, one that ruleth his own house well. Let the deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. You see, there has to be the character in the home as well as in the place of worship. Then there's for young people, the Lord says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and in purity. It doesn't matter what age you are to be an example. You are to be the best you can be in the power of the Lord. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you doing your best for the Master? Are you ready his service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. And the Lord will do this if we ask him. And God's commands must be obeyed in our lives. And that brings us back to our lesson. The believer's life and house must be in order before he preaches to others. But Moses wasn't. Moses' character had changed greatly. Moses had become a meek man. Moses had become a man that was now going at God's command. And as he went at God's command, the Lord stopped and told him there's something that wasn't right in his life and had to be put right. You see, all male boys of the Hebrews were to be circumcised on the 8th day after their birth. But Moses had neglected this duty and this command. And his son had not been circumcised. And therefore the covenant sign had not been administered to the child. And you know, God's judgment was pending. And Moses wasn't able to be used because he had not obeyed what God had already revealed to him in his word. See, Moses would have known about the teaching of the Hebrews and the Israelites from his mother. He was saved. He knew the Lord. The Lord would have taught him. And he hadn't obeyed this command to circumcise his child. And it says there that the Lord sought to kill him. The Lord sought to remove him. And the Lord said, Moses, if you're going to be used by me and if you're going to go on, you have to obey what I have shown you is my will. And Moses stopped there and then, and Moses circumcised the child. proving that he was willing to go through with God. Is there something in your life that God has told you to do and you haven't done it yet? You see, some people want a deeper knowledge of God. Facts about God. Facts about the Word of God. You know what God desires more than that? God desires obedience. God desires obedience. And I remember Bible commentator saying that the hard parts of the Bible are not the parts that we don't yet understand. It's the parts that we do. The commands that we already have revealed to us. And many people are trying to figure out what the rest of the word means, and they haven't yet put into practice what God has already commanded. And often God's commands are simple. Often they are. The great problem is that we don't obey them. Obey and be blessed. And here's the pattern for Christian growth in God and Christ. You hear the word, you obey the word, and you grow. Then you hear the word, and you obey the word, and you grow. And you hear the word, and you obey the word, and you grow. And that cycle goes on until the Lord calls you home. You've never made it. You've never reached the finishing point in this earth until the Lord's called you home. There's always something to learn, something to hear, a new victory to be won, new growth to be enjoyed. Finally, God's plans have a 100% success rate. God's plans have a 100% success rate. And that thrills me. Because God's plan is that the gospel be preached, souls be saved, his kingdom established, and we will gather in heaven, and not one will be lost. You see, in verse number 29, there is obedience to the command of God. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. They stepped out in God's word. They obeyed the task. They did it God's way. Moses had sought to free the people before his way. But you know something? Business strategies and human plans have no place in the Church of Jesus Christ. God's ways must be first. God's ways must be first. We have to be wise in our business affairs. We have to be wise in our human actions. But God's plans must be the ultimate goal of the New Testament church. Remember whenever... Well, I say I remember, I wasn't born, but I was reading about it whenever the Free Church was established. And folks, many of those places were established and they didn't have the money. And they were establishing churches and opening venues. And they did not have the money to support a church, to support a minister, any of those things. And you know what? God told them to go. And then God blessed them. And God provided what they needed. It wasn't that they went to the bank and said, have we the money to do this? They had the command of God and they went forward and asked God for what was necessary, and God provided. And folks, that's the way the church ought to work. But not only was there obedience to the command of God, and that is going to result in a 100% success rate, but secondly, they presented God's word. And Aaron, verse 30, spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. You see, they presented the word of God. It wasn't the eloquence of man, but it was the wisdom of God. God's word is our weapon in the fight for truth and righteousness. God's word is what's necessary in a sinful, corrupt, dying world. God's word will not return unto him void. That's what will give the victory. That's what will make a difference in people's lives. You dare not go and tell someone to turn over a new leaf in their life or to reform their life or to act a certain way. Folks, that's nonsense. God's word alone can transform lives. It is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you know what? That obedience and the presentation of the word of God garnered a response in verse 31. Look what it says. And the people believed. Thank God the people believed. When they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that they looked upon their affliction, and they bowed their heads, and they worshipped. And here's the wonderful thing. There was a response from the people toward God. They didn't bow down and worship Moses and Aaron. They didn't praise Moses and Aaron. They were thankful for Moses and Aaron. Oh, but they worshipped the Lord. And folks, that is the end result of gospel preaching, that people bow their head and they worship God. They worshipped and they showed obedience. All the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You see, we still need people today to reach others for Christ and tell them, come to the Saviour. Make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today. He's tenderly saying, come. And as we conclude this evening, what have we learned? We've learned this. Don't use excuses in response to God. Don't use excuses. Secondly, ensure that you are a clean vessel. And thirdly, be encouraged that the Lord's work will be successful when it's completed in his way. And as we gather here tonight, I want to ask, first of all, are you in the way of God? Are you saved? Or is the call of God to you tonight to come to him for salvation, for forgiveness, for mercy? You can be saved. But I want to speak specifically to God's people tonight. What's God's call in your life? What's he asking you to do? It may not be to give up your home and to move to a foreign mission field. It may be simply to lift the phone tomorrow and to ring someone for Christ. To bring someone to the house of God for Christ. Maybe it's to put something right in your life that is hindering your ministry and your effectiveness. Folks, whatever the Lord saith unto you, do it. Do it and be blessed. And praise God, we can be 100% sure that if God calls us to do something, it will be successful. That doesn't mean we'll have an easy life. That doesn't mean that every day will be so overflowing with joy and happiness, but it does mean this, that God's will be done. And we'll live without regrets. And when we get to the end of life's journey, won't it be wonderful if we're able to look back and be able to say, I did what I could for my God. There was no one ever who has sat upon their dying bed saying, I wish I hadn't been so serious or so holy or so dedicated. No, you'll find that the words are, I wish I'd given them more. Remember a man, not in the Free Church, but I remember hearing the story of a man, and he was a faithful man in his church. He sang the choir, he drove the bus for the children, he did all of these things, and as he died, he said, I have done nothing for the Lord. The minister said, but look what you have done. He says, yeah, I know, but really, in comparison to everything else I've done in life, it's been nothing. Folks, the time to remedy that is now. Now. Seek the Lord, know his will, and then give your best. Give your best to the Master, and he will bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do bow humbly and reverently in thy presence, Lord. We have to hang our heads in shame tonight as we realize so much of ourselves in Moses. Oh, Lord, we see that attitude that we know better than God, that God maybe hasn't realized the problems. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. We're coming into the presence of a holy God, a wise God, a God who never fails. And therefore, Lord, help us, instead of seeing our inability, to see thine ability. Thy provision, thy promise. Oh, Lord, lead us and guide us in the way you would have us to go. Lord, we thank thee for bringing us here tonight. Thank thee for bringing us to the place of challenge. And Lord, we pray tonight you will challenge thy people. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed at this time, we would just encourage God's people, if you need to talk to the Lord, ask forgiveness for your disobedience, maybe pray about something in your life that's hindering you going through with God, maybe to respond to the call of God in your life then, just quietly within your heart, you do that now. Take that time and talk to the Lord. No better time than now to put things right. Lord, you know the responses of our hearts. And we pray, Lord, for those that have, Lord said, use me in whatever way. We pray, Lord, you'll use them. Pray, Lord, for those who have prayed for forgiveness, for disobedience, Lord. We pray they'll know help to obey. Lord, take us on with thee. Take us further, we pray. And next time we meet, or be it on this earth or be it in heaven, may we be able to testify of the great things that the Lord has done in our lives and through our lives, because we have surrendered all. Bless us now, we pray. Part us in thy fear and with thy favor. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.